Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
We're starting a new message series this morning. As you saw in the video, it's called Tapping into the Divine. And the idea that as followers of Jesus, the creator of the universe is willing to bend reality for our sake. It's just a staggering thought. In fact, this is a point of mockery that people have when it comes to prayer. You know, you pray and you expect the rules of nature to change for you. And you know, there's a point to that. Is that really true? And so we're going to do a four-part series, Tapping into the Divine, and it's going to be about four ways to communicate or commune with God that will change your life. And the message today is entitled The Source. We do have a YouVersion live event that goes through the YouVersion Bible app. You can download it at any smart device. And so on every Sunday, we'll have this event that's tied to that. If you go into events, location, or something like that, you'll see Crosslands Church. And there's a relevant scripture for today, and there's also where do we go from here questions. How do I live this out on a Monday or Tuesday, or maybe with my small group we engage with these questions about how to apply it. Typically on a Sunday, we'll do text messages. If you have a comment or question relevant to the message, and you're welcome to send those. We do have communion at the end of the service, and everyone's willing to participate or welcome to participate in that. I hope you're willing to participate in that. But, so because of that, we probably will not have time to entertain text messages. You're still welcome to send them, and I probably won't ignore it if you do. So we had a, I'm just going to jump right in. We had a pastor on staff, our former youth pastor before Mariah, and he was telling me that when he first became a follower of Jesus, he was attending a church, and they gave him, somebody there gave him this prayer to read, and it was like a prayer of protection, and it was really, really detailed, like really detailed, and was praying against all these things that, you know, he gave me a copy. I'm reading this. Like, I don't even know if some of the stuff is real. But he was dealing with things like anxiety and stuff. And so he would read this prayer all the time, and he would feel more anxiety because he wasn't sure whether he was doing it enough, and he wasn't sure whether he was doing it correctly. So he's a pretty smart guy. So he figured, well, I'm gonna be more efficient on this. So he recorded himself reciting the prayer, and he would play it while he was driving. And surprisingly, this did not decrease his anxiety. It increased it because he was still, I don't know if I'm doing it enough. I don't know if I'm doing it properly. I don't know if I'm saying this prayer correctly. Now, I have no problem with prayers that are written down. I don't. But there comes a point where this is not supposed to be so difficult. Does anybody here struggle with being spiritual? Or is that just me? It seems like the bar is really high. Like, it's way too high. So there's this high bar of spiritual disciplines. I got to read my Bible like for an hour or 2 hours every day, and I got to pray for an hour or 2 hours every day, and then all the time at the same time, somehow I don't know how to do that. And I go through, and I work in a church, and I still find that a day goes by, you know, I don't think I prayed today. I hope, like, you're not ready to fire me based on that. But you ever experienced that? You're like, I know I'm supposed to do this, and I guess I just really suck. I must be the worst Christian out there. Maybe that's just me. We also have this high challenge of character. You know, you're trying to put up a new lighting fixture, and it's more difficult than you think. You get a temporary case of Tourette's or something like that. So our rule in the house is, and Michelle likes changing light fixtures, so the new rule is she's out of the house when I do it, okay? But this idea that your character, like, we fall all the time. And then we have this challenge of being participating in God's kingdom throughout the world. I grew up in a church where sharing the message of Jesus was paramount. That was the number one measure of spiritual maturity. And we would hear this regularly. How many people did you lead to Jesus this past year? Because if you didn't lead any, there's something wrong with you. And every year, there's something wrong with me. Like, oh, I just can't do this. And there's all kinds of stuff to know. You know, I'm working on a master's degree. Well, you know, I have a bachelor of theology. And so there's all this information and theology and a lot of things that I believed 20 years ago, I don't even believe today. It's been corrected. And You think, like, how do we get all this right? How can we possibly do this? And then you read through the Gospels and you see Jesus teaching people. And his messages aren't that complicated. Now, they weren't stupid people. They weren't. They thought differently from us. They lived in an oral culture where the body of knowledge that they had was not accessible on Wikipedia. There's no internet. Sometimes we look back and go, well, they were barely literate, so they must have been dumb. No, actually, they were able to survive in contexts and arenas that we couldn't. Yeah, go to the Middle East and scrape out a living for yourself without Wikipedia or the internet or electricity or whatever. Try that. See how well you do. So they have this, they're an oral culture where their memory capacity was huge. It was huge. There's recent studies that are suggesting that our brains are getting smaller. Which is, I mean, oh, that's horrible. No, it's not, because it means you're more efficient. Your brain's running more efficiently because we're taking a lot of the processes that you used to have to hold in your brain and we're downloading it to a device. It's not the first time it's happened in history. It also happened in the 1500s when the printing press was developed. And all of a sudden, I don't have to remember everything. I can write it down and produce books. More people learn to read. The rate of literacy in the world is skyrocketing. I am organizationally deficient, naturally. But I have downloaded my organizational capability such that it is into my smartphone, and it does that for me, and I don't have to waste brain power organizing myself because my phone does it for me. And my brain's getting smaller, but running more efficiently. I might live longer because of my cell phone. Never heard that version of the story before, have you? Right? And so we live in a very sophisticated world where all of our the body of knowledge is downloaded to the internet and I can access anything. Like I can't imagine going back 20 years and having an argument with Michelle because I can't look it up and prove myself correct, right? Or if I find out that I'm wrong, just not mention it anymore. But here's Jesus teaching to these people that are living in an oral culture and they're a lot of their brain power is wrapped up in how do I survive? How do I get enough food for today? How do I get enough food for next week? And Jesus is preaching these messages to them. They aren't that complicated. Why do we make things so complicated? It's kind of simple. And there's three metaphors that he uses of himself. He communicates them, and he says this of himself a number of times in different contexts, that God himself is our air that we breathe. In the original Hebrew, the original Greek, the word for air or wind was exactly the same as spirit. And Jesus says a number of times as well, he says, I am the food that you need. I am the drink that you need. These are very common, everyday things. This is stuff that we do every day, and we do it unthinkingly. And Jesus is offering himself. This is not a complicated theology. We forget that Jesus is the source of our existence because we live very, very busy lives that are surrounded by noise. Surrounded by, and I don't mean just audible noise. Mental noise. Electronic noise. And we're go, 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 go all the time. We don't have a lot of time to spare. And in that context, we go to the end of the day and we go, you know what, I think I forgot to pray today. I'm not even sure because my mind is so full of stuff, even including the stuff I'm downloading to my phone and all of that and filling the space with podcasts and entertainment. I'm going to tell you a story that's not true. So I went on a date with Michelle early in our marriage and we went out for dinner. And before the food got there, I had a conversation with her, and I said something like this. I'm so glad you're here today with me tonight. I'm so glad that you came on this date to eat dinner with me. And I just want to go over a couple of things, okay? So I'm going to be working early this next week, so I'm wondering if you could get breakfast for me done on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll take care of myself on Thursday, but maybe Friday would be nice if we had breakfast as well. And Monday night, I'd really like tacos. Oh, also, I noticed that I'm running out of clean underwear. So can you do the laundry sometime in the next couple of days? And Judah needs help with his homework, because he's in grade 1 now. He's getting a ton of homework. So can you help him out with his homework? And Graydon's doing okay, but he's having problems learning to ride his bike. So I'm willing to go there and help him, but I wouldn't mind if you would help me with that as well. And I went on and on and on like this for probably 20, 25 minutes. And at the end, I said, you know, thank you for coming on this date with me. I'll see you tomorrow. And that's what we do when we pray. That's what we do when we pray. I have a relationship with the creator of the universe who's willing to bend reality for my sake, and I won't shut up. I'm going to tell him the way to run things. That's what we do when we pray. He's willing to alter reality based on our interactions with him. We're based on just who we are, and we approach him to get what we think we need and what we want. Jesus says, I am the source for everything you need, and I love you, and I have something to offer you. I'm your air. I'm your food. I'm your drink. Let's have a relationship, and we go on a date with him when we remember, and we tell him everything that we want. We don't let him talk. So how do you get past that? Well, you set aside time every day for an hour, and you listen to him for an hour, and you never forget to do that, because if you do, then you're a failure. And we can't do that. Okay, can you give him 15 seconds three times a day? I'll tell you something. If you can't, you need to seriously reorganize your schedule. But there are all kinds of things that we can do when we live in the mundane to allow God to crack into our daily living. We allow the spiritual to invade our world. And sometimes I think we make God casual, like he's my best friend. Oh, hey, God, buddy, how are you? And I'm just going about my day. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actually stopping, breathing, and allowing him to speak to us. Express our love to him and allow him to express his love to us. So here are some key points. And these are optional. When you have your first coffee in the morning, there are some people that cannot wake up with a cup of coffee. And that sense of being brought to life by the caffeine, we can associate that with the God who loves us and is here to bring us life. You take that first cup of coffee and, God, thank you for your life. I love you. Slow down. Shut off the internal voice, that narrator that keeps going all the time. Give God 15 seconds. When you start your car, put the key in, don't turn it. Sit down for a couple of seconds and say, well, you have to sit down in the driver's seat, presumably. And just express your love to God, allow him to express his love to you. When you first wake up in the morning, let your first conscious thoughts be thoughts of God who loves you. Now, I know that's hard because your first conscious thoughts sometimes determine their own path. But as soon as you remember, as soon as you get to the point where you go, okay, what am I thinking about? Just stop and allow God to communicate his love to you and communicate your love in return without a list. Here, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you the kind of challenge you will never hear a pastor say. Stop asking God for things. Just for 1 week. I know we got things we gotta ask him for. I know we have sicknesses, we have financial troubles, we have relational troubles. Just for 1 week, stop asking him. Just for 1 week, next week, Sunday, okay, we'll start asking him again, okay? For this week, don't ask him for anything. Just say, thank you for your love. God, I love you. For 15 seconds a few times a day. Try it. See what happens. And I know, like, here's the thing that's when you're desperate, right? There's something, we need to solve this issue. So we have to tell God about it because he probably doesn't know. This is not about being passive or casual. It's just the opposite. It's about tuning your radio dial into God's frequency at a few times a day. And I think what you're going to find is that 15 seconds can very easily turn into 30. Or more, and the three or four times a day can easily turn into more times a day. But when you fail and fail and fail, and I know what that's like, well, just aim the bar just a little bit lower, right? instead of praying for an hour, and I've done those challenges, do it for 30 days and it becomes a habit. No, it doesn't. Just let's give him 15 seconds and maybe 20 seconds and 30 seconds. I was reading a book by a man named Gene Edwards who I actually bought this book because it was another book he wrote that really like profoundly impacted me. And in this, he writes a book about how difficult it is to be spiritual. And he says this: there is nothing that will bring on more discouragement than beginning to pursue a living relationship with the Lord and expecting that you will never fail at it. Of course you're going to fail. And God still loves you. This is what happens is when we fail. Oh, I forgot to do the 15 seconds of when I first became conscious this morning, and so I guess I may as well just stop doing it. Well, just let it go and do it again. God's not ready to whip you, or that's the enemy's voice. You suck, so you may as well give up. God's voice says, I love you, and I welcome the next opportunity we have to engage. He says that every time. Now, you may say, I find it really difficult to. I mean, how long can you say, God, I love you, and I'm listening for his love? And we're not good at this because we're too busy giving. I find it really difficult because when I pray, it's so easy to say, and please, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to ask, right? Is it, what else do you talk about? So we're going to do an exercise this morning because Scripture is full of words that we can make ours to engage with God. I'm a fast talker. I'm going to try to do this slowly. Okay, if you have a Bible, I'm going to encourage you to turn to Psalm 23, and we could use any number of Psalms. There's like 150 of them, right? So we won't exhaust those anytime soon. But this is a very familiar Psalm, and we're going to go through this really, really slowly. And I'm going to invite you to share with me the making of these words into our own. Okay, we're going to go verse by verse, and it's going to be on the screen. So the Lord is my shepherd. God, you are my shepherd. You care for me. You know what I need, and you give me what I need. I have all that I need. There's nothing that I need that I lack. God, you are my provider. I can trust you to provide for me what I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. When life is stressful, when life is busy, God, you are my rest. When I'm surrounded by pressures, life with you is like being in a green meadow. I'm like a sheep surrounded by food. I don't worry in the meadow. He leads me beside peaceful streams. God, you lead me to peace. You bring me to the place where I'm completely at rest. You bring me to a well-watered place where the water is not dangerous. You bring me to the place that I need to be. He renews my strength. Lord, I'm weak over and over and over. Even when I start strong, I become weak, but you renew my strength. You make me strong. You are the one that fills me and brings me life and gives me the ability to live. He guides me along right paths. I don't need to live in confusion. I don't need to live guessing. God, you show me the way to go. And I put my hand in yours and I follow your leading. Bringing honor to his name. God, you are the God who loves me, and even though I fail over and over through my life, I can honor your name because you lead me, you guide me, you are my shepherd, you are my life, you are my source, you are my rest. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, life can be really rough sometimes. Sometimes we despair even to the point of death, and Lord, you lead me even there, but you are with me. I'm not alone. I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. In my worst times, you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You are my comfort when life is dark. You are my protection when life is dangerous. When everything is going wrong and everything looks wrong, you are with me, you are my shepherd, you are guiding me, you are protecting me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. There are people who would destroy me if they could, but I'm not afraid because you are with me and you will stand me up. You are the one who will allow me to be honored. You are the one who will feed me and provide my sustenance when circumstances say that shouldn't be. You are my shepherd who loves me. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. Lord, you are the one that brings me to the status and position that you have ordained me for. I don't need to fight for it. You make it happen. You are the one who brings me to the place of honor. I don't need to make that happen for myself. My cup overflows with blessings. God, you've blessed me over and over and over again, and I thank you. I love you because you are the shepherd who loves me. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. I don't have to chase goodness. It's chasing me. I don't have to chase your love. You're chasing me. I rest in the fact that you love me so much that even when my heart was turned from you, you chase me with your love. There's nothing that I have to do to earn your love. There's nothing that I can do to make you love me more because you love me completely. All the days of my life, I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to forget to pray. But you still love me and you still welcome me into that loving relationship. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. My life is centered in my relationship with God. I love you. And I thank you for loving me. I thank you for being the place where I live. I thank you for being the source, my life. We just prayed that. Didn't ask for anything. He's our source. We're going to move into communion this morning. And communion is a commemoration of this relationship that God has brought us into. It's a covenant. It's like a contract. Everybody that's here today is welcome to participate. We call that an open table because when Jesus inaugurated this celebration, this commemoration, he had people around him that would be faithless. They would doubt him. They would fail. And he said, "You're welcome to eat with me anyway." And so he invites us into a relationship where we eat together. He's our food. He's our drink. There's a passage in John, and it's a difficult passage that people don't preach on because it's difficult. We don't know what to do with it. And a lot of Jesus' followers actually abandoned him when he said this. John 6, starting at 55. Jesus said, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. I'm sacrificing my love for your life," or sacrificing my life for to bring life to you, for a love relationship with you. "Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever." He is our source. God speaks to us through his Spirit, and there are times when he will speak through people in Cross and Church over here. And so Anna is going to share a message from God this morning.
There's a few people here who God is calling to new beginners, new beginnings. And he wants to confirm to you today that it is He who is calling. So whether it is the first time that you share communion with us, you've been here for a while and you have resisted doing this, He's inviting you to do this today. If this is a new beginning for you, it may be. If you've been part of Crosslands Church for a long time, but He's calling you to something that is challenging and different, that is Him calling. And it is your choice. And like that, I just saw a lot of us just in new beginners, but we saw it like the Red Sea and we're afraid. And He just wants you to know that it is true, it is Him, and it is simple. He will be with you every step of the way.
Thanks, Edna. I'm wondering if Karen or Claudette could snag me a grape juice and a cracker. I'm ill-prepared up here. The Bible says that that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. God looked at you and loved you before you ever did anything, because He made you to love you. And so we put ourselves in the position. Thank you. We put ourselves in the position where we struggle and we fail and give up, because we think that once we failed, God has rejected us. But before we ever even turned our eyes to Him, before we ever even looked towards Him, He looked at you and loved you and invited you into relationship. And then we get into relationship and we think we have to work all the time and we have to ask Him for stuff, and just let Him love you and respond with your love. So this morning I want to emphasize that. Thank you. As we do communion, as we participate. So we have two pieces of the commemoration, the cracker, which is it's the gluten-free version of the bread that they used in the New Testament here, and the juice. And Jesus describes that this bread, which was the bread of Passover, the bread of rescue. He says, this bread represents my body. I am giving my body for you. The whole crucifixion was about God rescuing us from our imperfection, from our own addiction to the behaviors and the poisons and the wounds in our life that keep us from being who we could be. We were called to reflect God as His image, and we can't do that without His help. So Jesus came to break that dysfunction in us. And so Jesus says that this represents my body, which is broken. I'm giving it for you. And then this represents, well, this is our version of the wine, which represents Jesus' blood, which enacts the new covenant, a new agreement, a covenant where God, a covenant, a contract can be broken by one party and then it's null and void. A covenant keeps going even when one party breaks it. And I know in my own life I've broken that over and over and over, but God is still faithful because that's who He is. And so we have this agreement that God has enacted. So we're going to participate together. I'm going to ask that you would stand, and we'll do the standing up if you can. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.'" Let's eat together. In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it." Let's drink together. There may be some of you here today that have never actually stepped into this relationship with God that he invites us freely into. And you might not know how to get there. How do I do this? And we say this every week, but it's as simple as ABC. First, admit your need for him. I can't do this on my own. The second, believe that he has a life for you. He made it possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. And C, commit your life to him. And if you are here today and you want to do that, or maybe you even have more questions, the best way to respond, you have to do something to respond, but take one of those connection cards and fill in the contact info, and there's a checkbox, I've decided to follow Jesus for the first time today, or even, I have more questions about this, I want to learn more. And then just give it in at the information desk and we'll get a hold of you. As soon as the service is done here today and we're about to finish, we make Theater One a prayer room. And every week we have a prayer focus. And we pray to certain ends that are related to the message today. And today the prayer focus is very simple. Really simple. To accept, to receive God's love, to acknowledge his love and respond in love. That's it. You're not allowed to ask for anything. Not today. Not this week. Let him love you and respond in love. Let him be your air. Let him be your food. Let him be your drink. Jesus said that when two or three of you are gathered, I am with you. That the communion, I believe the communion can be represented at every meal. As we eat, we remember Jesus and he is with us because he loves us. And there's nothing, in spite of all our struggles, there's nothing that can change you more than a complete awareness of his love for you. It's not your striving, it's his love. His love convinces us that there's something better. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Your love for us is so immense. You made us to love us. We fail and we fail and we fail, and you still love us. And when we receive, we accept your love, we fail less. And then we fail less. And you still draw us forward with your love. In response, I say, Lord, we love you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.